And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
Jason?
Uncle Willie. Oh, this is a pleasant surprise. I don't think I've ever seen you here at Triple J's before.
Yeah, just thought I'd pop in and take a look around.
Well, great. Are you looking for anything in particular?
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, there's plenty of stuff to look at. You just take your time.
Actually, I'm not looking for an antique.
Oh, then why are you here?
I'm not sure. During my prayer time this morning, something strange happened. I know how this will sound, but I had an overwhelming feeling that I needed to be here at Triple J's today.
Feeling?
It was actually beyond a feeling. If I had to put words to it, it would be more like I perceived it in my soul.
Wow.
Yeah, and it wouldn't go away, so here I am. You mind if I hang around for a bit?
Well, far be it from me to interfere with a divine message, but I really need to get back to my paperwork, though.
Oh, yes, of course. Don't let me stop you. You go ahead, and I'll just look around. Oh, this is nice.
Yeah, we just got that in. Victorian music box. In good shape, too. Turn the crank.
Oh, all right. Oh, I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
Yep.
Jason?
Oh, hi, Zoe.
Zoe!
Hi, Pastor. Jason, I need help.
How can I help you, Zoe?
With research and a little inspiration, I hope. I have a history project to do and an article to write, and I have no idea what the subject should be for either of them. Can I look around?
Sure, help yourself.
This might be something you could use, Zoe.
That's nice.
Recognize it?
Sure. It's that Christmas carol.
Do you know the words?
No, not really.
Sing it, Uncle Willie.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
You have a really nice voice, Pastor.
Thank you.
I don't think a carol will help me with my projects, though.
Actually, it might be just what you need.
Really?
Well, not the carol so much as the person who wrote the carol. Do you know who that was?
No.
His name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Oh, but what does a poet have to do with history?
Well, he wasn't just a poet. He was one of America's greatest poets. And he wrote Christmas Bells, the words to that carol, during one of the most incredible and horrible times in American history, the Civil War.
Okay, the Civil War sounds good.
These days, we only sing two or three of the verses of that carol, but there were originally seven verses to it. I've got a book about it here somewhere. Where did I put that?
Seven verses? I didn't know there were that many.
Here it is. Yeah, seven. See?
Wow.
Well, some scholars think that a case can be made for the verses reflecting certain periods and events in Longfellow's life. For instance, sing the second verse, Uncle Willie.
And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Longfellow's early life was one unbroken string of successes. He sailed through school, learned multiple languages, published several fiction and nonfiction pieces, married a lovely woman named Mary Storer Potter, and ended up the professor of modern languages at Harvard.
Sounds like a charmed life.
Well, not completely. After only 4 years of marriage, Mary had a miscarriage, and her health failed rapidly after that.
Oh, my love. My love, don't go. Don't leave me.
Oh, Henry. Henry, my love. Take my hand.
I'm here, my love.
Henry, it is hard to die and leave you. I remember all your kindness to me. I ought to bless God that he makes one suffer so little.
You are going to your best friend.
Yes. Yes.
Marry. Marry. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Longfellow mourned his wife in the best way he knew how, through his incredible words in a poem called Footsteps of the Angels.
When the hours of day are numbered and the voices of the night wake the better soul that slumbered to a holy, calm delight.
Henry.
Then the forms of the departed enter at the open door. The beloved, the true-hearted come to visit me once more.
Henry.
Mary.
Oh, my love.
With a slow and noiseless footstep comes that messenger divine, takes the vacant chair beside me, lays her gentle hand in mine.
You must cease mourning for me, my love.
I have missed you so.
And I you. But you still have life, and you must live it.
I know. But stay with me for now.
Yes, for now.
And she sits and gazes at me with those deep and tender eyes, like the stars, so still and saint-like, looking downward from the skies.
Of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
The world revolved from night to day. So, if the night was Mary's death, then what made the world revolve into day? Did Longfellow fall in love again?
Yes, he did. A few years after Mary died, he went on a trip to Switzerland, where he met Frances Fanny Appleton. For Longfellow, it was love at first sight.
But not for Fanny?
No, she was a lot more level-headed.
Marry me.
You are a brash, bold one, Mr. Longfellow.
Love makes one brash and bold. Marry me.
We have only just met. An acquaintance of barely 3 weeks.
And yet I feel as though I've known you for a lifetime. Marry me, Fanny.
You must not speak so. It is unseemly.
I care not. Marry me, marry me, marry me.
Henry, please.
You do love me, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I believe I do. But proprieties posit we pursue a proper period of courtship.
Alluring alliteration. Very well then, dearest. How long a period?
No less than 1 year. For each time in this conversation, you have asked me to marry you.
What? How many is that?
Oh, by my count, 6.
I have to wait 6 years for you to marry me?
7 now.
Fanny!
She really made him wait 7 years? That's like something out of the Bible. They did get married after that, though, right?
Yes. And they had 6 children and settled into a happy life. Longfellow used to play with his young daughters, Alice, Edith, and Anne, every afternoon. He called it the children's hour.
Between the dark and the daylight, when the night is beginning to lower, comes a pause in the day's occupations that is known as the children's hour.
He's in his chair. We'll surround him. Alice, go that way. Aiden, over there.
A sudden rush from the stairway, a sudden raid from the hall.
Attack!
By three doors left unguarded, they enter my castle wall.
Surrender, Papa!
Never! Never shall I surrender.
I have you fast in my fortress and will not let you depart, but put you down into the dungeon, in the round tower of my heart. And there will I keep you forever. Yes, forever and a day. Till the wall shall crumble to ruin and molder in dust away.
Then from each black, accursed mouth, the cannon thundered from the south. And with the sound the carols drowned, of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
The cannon thundered from the south. So now we come to the Civil War.
Yep. The tension between North and South reached a climax with the election of Abraham Lincoln. But no one realized the toll that victory would take on the country.
It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
But since Longfellow was from Boston, that meant he was for the Union, right?
Absolutely, and virulently anti-slavery. But he still didn't want his oldest son, Charlie, to join the Union Army. And this wasn't a problem at first. Charlie was only 17 when the war started. But Longfellow knew it was just a matter of time. Before that could happen, though, another tragedy occurred.
How much longer, Mommy?
Almost finished, sweetheart.
What's this? Dear little Lambie and Longfellow, shorn by Mother Hiawatha?
Daddy.
No shearing, dear. Just a trim to take the hair off the girls' necks so they'll be cooler in this heat.
But they're such glorious golden curls.
Which is why I'm preserving them in paper packets sealed with candle wax.
Locks in wax. Excellent. I biddeth thee both adieu.
All right, little one, I'm finished.
Hooray! I'm still hot, though, Mommy.
Well, let me just put your curls in a bag and I'll open a window. We're finally getting a nice sea breeze to cool things down, thank the Lord. Now, I need the candle and, where are the matches?
Here they are, Mommy.
Anne, Longfellow, how many times have I told you not to play with matches? You took them out of the box.
I just wanted to count them.
Darling, these are easy, light matches. Very dangerous.
I'm sorry, Mommy. I'll put them back.
No, just hand them to me.
Okay. One fell. I'll get it.
No, Anne, I'll get it. Now, oh, where did it go? Oh!
No one knows exactly how it happened, but when looking for the match, somehow Fanny accidentally ignited it. At the same instant, a breeze wafted in from the window, fanning the flame and catching Fanny's dress on fire.
Mommy!
Oh, it's all right. I think I can put it out. Ah! Henry! Henry!
Daddy!
What's all the racket? Fanny!
Henry!
Get the servants and quickly!
Yes, Daddy.
Drop to the floor, Fanny. Let me put it out. Oh, there.
Henry.
It's out. Fanny. Oh. Fanny. Fanny.
Fanny was taken to her room to recover, and a doctor was called. She was in and out of consciousness throughout the night, and the next morning she seemed to rally for a few moments. But then...
She died?
Yes.
Wow.
Longfellow never fully recovered from Fanny's death. You know, years later, he expressed his grief in a sonnet called The Cross of Snow.
In the long, sleepless watches of the night, a gentle face, the face of one long dead, looks at me from the wall. Around its head, the night lamp casts a halo of pale light. There is a mountain in the distant west that, sun-defying in its deep ravines, displays a cross of snow upon its side. Such is the cross I wear upon my breast these 18 years, through all the changing scenes and seasons, changeless since the day she died.
And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and marks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Oh, so sad. You mentioned Charlie Longfellow a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Did something happen to him in the Civil War?
Yes. Charlie wanted to join the Union Army, and his father didn't want him to. And it led to quite the conflict between them.
No, 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 1,000 times no.
Papa, it is a man's duty to do what he can for his country. I would willingly lay down my life if it would be of any good.
You are just a boy.
I am no longer a boy, Papa. I am a man. You just refuse to see it.
That is a boy's answer.
It is disgraceful for me to sit here in comfort while so many of my friends and neighbors bear the burden of the fight.
I will say no more on the matter. You know where I stand.
Then you must know that I intend to join, with or without your permission.
You would disobey your father?
To serve my country? Yes. I'm sorry, Papa, but I cannot wait any longer.
True to his word, Charlie ran away and joined the Union Army. At first, Longfellow didn't even know where to find his son. Then Charlie finally sent his father a letter. Charlie had been promoted to lieutenant and transferred to the cavalry. In November, as part of the Mine Run campaign in New Hope Church, Virginia, Charlie led his unit on a patrol through a thicket.
Oh! Order, sir!
The enemy is up ahead. Take half our men, go around the right. I'll take the rest and hit them from the left. Clear?
Yes, sir.
All right, then.
Lieutenant! Return fire, man! Lieutenant, are you all right?
No.
No.
Where are you here? My back. My shoulders. Get me to the hospital and contact my father.
Charlie, my son.
Papa, I'm so sorry.
No. No, all in the past. We are going home, my boy, to your family who loves you.
I can't.
Yes, you can. It's all arranged. We'll nurse you back to health.
Papa, you don't understand. My legs. I cannot feel my legs. I'm paralyzed.
Did Longfellow get Charlie back to Boston?
Yes, and he looked after him. But Charlie didn't seem to improve. That was the low point, the bleakest winter of Longfellow's life. Christmas Eve found him sitting vigil over a sleeping Charlie, deep in despair. and as the quiet snowflakes fell gently outside, he wrote,
"Out of the bosom of the air, out of the cloud folds of her garments shaken, silent and soft and slow descends the snow. Even as the troubled heart doth make in the white countenance confession, the troubled sky reveals the grief it feels. Oh, mighty God, why has this happened? Why am I visited with such calamity? I have lost two beloved wives, a baby daughter, and now my oldest son is paralyzed and may not survive. Can you not see, God? Can you not feel this pain? Are you asleep? Are you there at all? Perhaps you are dead.
Papa.
Charlie.
Do they have to ring those bells so early in the morning?
Charlie, you're sitting up.
I am. I am.
Yes, my boy.
Papa! My legs! I can feel them! I can feel my legs!
Oh, Charlie!
Merry Christmas, Papa!
Oh, Merry Christmas, my boy! Merry Christmas!
Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men.
So, what do you think, Zoe?
It's a great story. Just the thing for my article.
And your history project?
Yeah, that too. There's plenty of material here for both. May I borrow this book?
Sure. Just be careful with it.
Always. Oh, and maybe I can record you singing the carol, Pastor, and reciting the poems for the project?
I'd be delighted.
Awesome. Oh, I can't wait to tell the others.
Wait, others?
Yeah, the history project is a group project. There are three of us, me, Olivia, and Emily. Thanks again. I'll be in touch about the recording, Pastor. Bye.
Bye, Zoe. You know, you really do have a nice voice, Uncle Willie. Uncle Willie?
I'm sorry?
You all right?
I'm not sure.
Still? Why?
Remember what I told you when I came in about why I'm here?
Yeah, the overwhelming feeling.
Right, but what I didn't tell you was along with that overwhelming feeling came another message. Almost like a voice. Almost.
What did it almost say?
It said, one of three will fall.
Fall?
Yeah. When I came in, I thought it might mean one of three artifacts in here, but now...
One of three. You mean Zoe, Olivia, or Emily?
Will fall.
Fall how?
I don't know.
Which one will it be?
I don't know, Jason.
Well, what should we do?
The only things we can do. Watch, wait, and pray.
What do you think Wilson's feeling meant? Is one of the girls really in some kind of danger? Keep listening in the days ahead to find out more. In the meantime, in John 16:33, Jesus said, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." That's the hope we have as Christians, not that life will be easy. Instead, we know that no matter what happens, we belong to Jesus. Nothing in the world can take us out of His hands. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Christmas Bells was written and directed by Phil Lawler, with sound design by Nathan Jones and music by John Campbell. Our cast included Townsend Coleman, Melissa Disney, Gregory Jabara, Natalie Lander, Jason Spizak, and Kari Walgren. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.